Moncrief on News Talk
with the all-new Dacia Duster. We've even impressed ourselves with this one.
53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cents. It is time for So You Think You're an Adult. Declan Buckley and Amanda Brunker. Join us once again. Good afternoon to you both. Here is your first question. I recently divorced my husband and need some advice. We ended things on great terms and we're still friendly. We have three wonderful kids together. Our love simply fizzled out and that was that. So now I find myself at 59, starting out in the dating scene from scratch after 34 years with one man. I don't know what to expect at all. I watch First Dates a lot and try to get tips from it on how to act on a first date, even down to what drinks to order so I don't appear too fuddy-duddy, as brandy and Coke is my usual drink. I think I'm ready to try now and get out there, but how do I start? I considered first dates, but doing it on TV scares me stiff. Are there websites for older people? I'm not great with the internet, but my daughter said she'd help. Also, will sex be expected? I'm not adverse to it, but I feel nervous about it. Any advice is warmly welcomed. That's a great one to put in your Tinder profile. Sex expected.
Welcome to my world.
It's time for the sex now.
Married life. It's so stressful. Will he expect it? It's Sunday evening. Oh no.
He's expecting it. Well, I'm going for a walk.
No. The ironing's been done. I've no other excuse.
No. Oh my God. That's funny.
Come on,
listen, this is a hard one because, you know, her situation has changed and now she's willing to jump out into the world of dating. And if you haven't been in it, you kind of think it's something that everybody's kind of having meetings about and they know all the rules together and that you're walking in as the new girl and you don't know anything. When the reality is nobody knows anything.
Mm.
And so from that perspective, you remember that at the back of your head all the time, that nobody knows anything. So whatever rules you make for yourself are fine. That said, you know, it's good to be kind of, you know, you're aware of what you're trying to do. You're looking at the first dates program, even though I don't necessarily know if those people, I don't know enough about them, you know, whether they're the people to be taking tips on. But it's good to see what people do.
It is terrifying. I'm obviously still a very young woman. very young. Mm. You know,
Protected from the world.
But I'd be terrified to go out dating and looking for a man. Let's be honest, there's not much out there. I hate to depress her.
Pickings are slim.
Seriously slim pickings. I would consider going gay, maybe finding herself a nice woman to settle down with and have nice walks. But I don't know. It's hard.
It's not as easy as that, though.
I was just going to wonder, isn't it that easy?
It is a very nice lifestyle and all that, but it isn't that easy to swap over.
But think about it. If she found herself another woman who was looking for company and not necessarily sex,
a Boston marriage, as they call them.
There you go. Yeah. I'd be all game
for one
of those. Well,
actually, I'm kind of laughing at what you're saying on the superficial level, but actually, there is a really good point in it, which is that, you know, which is revealed by her line about will sex be expected, because it's clear then that that's not the primary motivating force for herself in finding something. So yeah, maybe it is just, you know, a nice female companion and the two of them dressed in Victorian dresses and go around reading books.
You're frightened the life out of her, but companionship is obviously a thing.
Of course it is. Because nobody wants to be by themselves, and essentially relationships are just a way of making sure that there's somebody there, you know. That's kind of,
you know, it's just in case you fall over somebody will find you. That's a lot of the time why people are in relationships.
You're still out in the yard, man.
I could be lying there, the dogs could be eating me, you know. It's like, we all just want somebody to have a giggle with, I suppose, and somebody to have our back. I don't know whether we always necessarily need a sexual relationship to kind of fulfil those quota.
Well, everybody's kind of different. I think some people, that's all they want, and
we should give her advice though, really, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
On how she gets, have you?
Actually, a friend of mine who's not quite as old as you are, but they were definitely in a long-term relationship.
59 is not old.
I know. I said as old as you are, not you are old, and therefore. No, but a friend of mine we had this exact conversation and she was starting out and everybody was giving her advice on what to wear. I mean, even this thing about don't drink rum and Coke is such a...
Oh, be yourself.
Yeah, exactly. It's such a weird piece of advice. So anyway, the reality of it is that as you step out into the world, of course, as you pointed out, Amanda, it's nerve-wracking. And it's, of course it is, because you're the product. You're putting yourself out there to be rejected.
The talent.
But you are, though. You're putting yourself out there so you kind of, what will I package myself up and what will I put down as the list of benefits and what will I not say I'm looking for and what will I say I am looking for? It's also, especially nowadays using apps and stuff, it all becomes so kind of, you click this box and you're looking for this. And
my dad found himself a woman online, and that did work for about, I think, about 10 or 12 years. I think they only broke up.
No, of course it works. But the thing is, if you have the right...
And he's an old fart. Like proper old fart. Like, if he was...
And Amanda, was sex expected, as far as you know?
I don't know. I do know my mother is actually listening right now.
Okay, let's not... We'll move on then.
Well, she knows the answer to that.
But I think sex was definitely on the cards. But I think, you know what, just to put in a little bit of advice to people, just don't, maybe not necessarily go on dating websites and this, that and the other. Maybe try an El Night course. Maybe, you know, go for walks or try bowling or something. You meet people in social interaction, you know, social everyday events. So like, I mean, I remember when I was single years ago, I always used to stalk the M&S meals for one aisle because I was hoping to bump into
Does that actually work?
Oh my God. No. Okay. But it was worth a shot.
God Lover says one texter, she's getting herself worked up a bit. First dates may not be the best port of call, as they
but
can
it's
be
good
a bit
entertainment.
Mad. Maybe answer those ads asking for friendship and let something develop. Laura says sex isn't expected, but I'm sure by that she means as she has been with the same man for 34 years and she's a little rusty on that front. Well, I imagine it's terrifying if you've been with the same person.
It sounds like getting back up on a bike, though.
Yeah. I don't know, but there's different models.
Maybe a bad euphemism.
You know, some of them have more gears than others. Denise says, has she gone to the pub and met some friends? Simple and effective. It's how I met my husband. Go out and let loose with her pals. She's already getting bogged down. She's only just free of the ball and chain.
Yeah. Well, I mean, don't be rushing
as well,
it.
You can get really preoccupied with the process of dating rather than the actual end result that you have in mind, which is meeting somebody. So don't, you know, if something frightens you, like the internet frightens you, exactly, get your daughter to come and help you. Just get that stuff out of the way, because that's just the administration. Just get somebody else to do that. That's fine. Get on board and just go out, get meeting people. And
start going out more.
Date like the Americans do. Just date loads of people. See loads of people. You know.
Oh, God.
I don't mean like...
That's hard work. That's very stressful.
I hate people.
Someone's recommended the Knock dating service. But they do have one.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you have to be religious or whatever. But I think they do have one. They claim success. My housemate loves animals and recently got a dog without telling any of us. She says it's for the whole house, not just her. How considerate. It's a cute puppy but has absolutely no training and she's not doing anything to rectify that. He bites us, the furniture, everything, all the time. Has ripped up some of my clothes, which I'm actually fuming over. He's not toilet trained, so is having an accident and she's not cleaning it up. And the problem is this dog is only going to get bigger. There are three of us in total and out other housemates has no issue with the dog, but I really do. She shouldn't have decided that the house needed a pet without talking to us. She barely spends time with the pup, apart from when she needs an Instagram picture. What can I do? I don't want to be a wet blanket, but she needs to take responsibility, train him, and train him now while he's small before bad habits set in.
Okay, can I answer this first?
Yes,
because
please.
I'm an animal rescue person. I get really annoyed by these type of things. Best thing to do, bring the dog to a rescue centre right away. It is now a puppy. It will get a home in seconds. If they hold on to this dog until it's big, even more destructive, and nobody's going to look after it, nobody's going to want it, and it's going to have a miserable life. Mm. So please bring the dog to a rescue centre right away so it can get a new home, because these people are irresponsible. Drives me nuts. Dogs are not like designer handbags. They're not like a new pair of shoes. It's like bringing a child into the world. So, you can do the funny bit now.
Very serious. No, I like the funny bit. But I do also like the serious bit. So is that actually, I wouldn't have known that that's what the rescue places would have felt, but it actually does make sense.
Trust
now,
me, they don't want to take in any more dogs. They're already full. But the thing is, you can get a puppy rehomed really easily.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
The adult dogs, people don't want them for some strange reason. But like, I mean, it would be great. In an ideal world, the person who's after getting the dog would warm it up and start training the dog and looking after it and minding it, whatever. But the chances are this person isn't. They're clearly irresponsible. Mm. So bring the dog somewhere else now before it gets any older.
But she's going to have to say this to the housemate. That's the problem.
I wouldn't even say anything to the housemate. Just take the dog.
Wow, okay.
Be swift.
Yeah, because, I mean, this is the whole thing. There's two levels of this problem. One is the fact that the housemate brought the dog into the house without consulting with anybody at all. And, you know, that's to me is like, we're bad. Yeah. Like, you don't bring in men, book clubs, Jehovah's Witnesses, or dogs into the house without consulting the rest of the people in your house.
That's a random mix of things.
All living creatures. Yeah. You don't do that. You don't, you know, if you've got a shared living area, you don't drag somebody in that's going to be, it's a bit inconsiderate.
It's the kind of thing you really need to consult other people with.
But clearly, as you pointed out, the animal rescue thing is that people do things with animals without thought all the time. They just go, oh, wouldn't it be nice to get a dog or an elephant for Christmas?
It's work.
So
they are going to bite and they are going to pee and poo everywhere because effectively they're babies without nappies on them.
And so that which brings me to the second point, which is the fact that the housemate either confronts the other housemate and goes, look, you transgressed against the first rule, which is you brought something into the house without consulting us, so we're going to react to that and get the dog out straight away. Or the person who's written this letter in, which seems to be the only responsible bit of the whole thing, is that they're going to be the one to take care of the dog, which I don't think they want to.
You shouldn't have a dog in your house or your home unless you're prepared to look after it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm always trying to tell people, you know, if you're going to get a dog, please adopt, don't shop, all of this. But the thing is, even though all the rescue centres, even the big, not just the big ones like the Dogs Trust and the DSPCA and all of those, like there's loads of kind of regional, kind of local, independently run animal rescue places. And they're full to the brim. And while I'd always tell people, please adopt a dog, I will only say to people, please adopt a dog if you can look after it. Like, there's no point in getting a dog and then going, oh, look, it's get one on a Saturday and then come Monday you have to go to work and you lock the dog up. Yeah. And for some reason, everybody seems to be getting these crates. Basically, it's a cage. I don't know when it started to become fashionable. About the last 3 or 4 years, all of a sudden you're seeing people on Instagram and in the background, there's all these cages for their dogs. It was like, why would you have a dog if you have to lock it into a cage? It just does not make sense to me. If you have to get a cage to lock an animal in, you shouldn't have it. Your house is not a zoo. So just don't get a dog at all.
One texter makes an interesting point. What does the landlord say? Surely there are rules on this.
You see, they should dob them in and then have to get rid of the
puppy. Yeah, and then have to get rid of them. That's a great idea. Or she could just say the landlord, you know, whoever deals with the landlord or land person should say, the land person called in, saw the dog, he's gone to live in a farm.
But that doesn't really resolve the problem where the flatmate is doing these things where, you know, God knows what next she's going to bring into the house.
You know what? Send the flatmate with the dog to the farm.
Yeah.
Yeah, be gone. A few people have
suggested that too. A new guy has just joined my office. He's sitting beside me. At first, I chatted to him, being polite to try and make him feel welcome, but now he thinks we're best friends. He keeps telling me very loud, inappropriate stories that I don't want to hear and will not stop talking when I'm clearly trying to do work. Recently, he discovered that my house is along his route to work and we've ended up walking together almost every day. It's becoming too much. I can tell other people in the office don't like him and I think he's a bit odd, my boss included. I don't want everyone to think we're friends. How do I avoid him? Move and switch jobs.
That's really stressful. That's the kind of thing that happens to me. That's why I'm kind of glad I don't work in an office situation. Actually, I just don't work at the moment, which is not great. But when I did work in an office situation, that would be always me. I'd get stuck with the pain. And because, you know, you can be just a bit too polite and then it's like, come back to bite you. Mm. I think that the key for future is just don't talk to anybody.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah.
Do you think, though, there's two bits in this that popped out at me. One is the bit where the evaluation of this person seems to be very much driven by what everybody else is thinking.
Yeah, which is also a little bit sad.
I don't know. Yeah. I think so. You know, you either think this guy is nice or not, whatever is your own opinion. It shouldn't be what anybody else is acting like. And there's if everybody in a department is kind of picking on somebody as being slightly odd, I that rings alarm bells for me, and I don't like that. But I will say that if you do want this person to slightly even geographically move out of your life, just tell the boss that you can't do your work while the person's standing beside you, and that's it. As simple as just go, I can't work, blah blah blah, is beside me, can you just move him
to a
different
seat? Not that easy though.
See,
it's not that you can just
you can be moved within the office.
Well, if the boss accepts that this person is a bit odd, the boss might be amenable to, you know, can I have a break from him?
Yeah, can we move seats?
Yeah.
Can we do swapsies?
Yeah.
But that sometimes, I mean, I don't know what the layout of the office is, but sometimes that is easy. You can just put them somewhere where they can't be in your ear.
Why are you sitting over there today? You know, it's like, oh, you know.
Boss made me. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Listen, if the boss doesn't like him, the chances are he mightn't last that long anyway. So, like, keep positive thoughts, but do not be giving people your home address. Like, what's with that?
I think he's probably
where do you live? Oh, I live in. Oh, I pass it every day.
I pass it all the way.
No,
I walk from Black
on my stalking
to
route
on my way.
You got to break the habit. You have to then all of a sudden just like, you know, pretend you're going to the gym or something after work, or you are meeting people. You are not walk. You can't make it a habit because, you know.
It's like you work for the CIA. You have to kind of change up everything every day.
Yeah,
go in different ways.
Routine.
Don't have any routine.
Yeah. Routine is dangerous.
If you don't want to know people, don't have a routine.
I feel we're not really helping this person at all.
Well, no, I do think that I think if the boss has indicated that there is some kind of a question mark.
There's a lack there.
Yeah. As long as it's to do with the way that the person's doing their job and how it's affecting everybody within their job. Because if it's just like, we don't like the cut of their gym,
that's a
bit something dodgy about that.
Maybe you just, man or woman up, is it a man or a woman?
You see, we don't know.
They're gender free.
Whatever. But the thing is, like, I mean, whoever this person is, they just need to kind of get a bit strong, get some balls and just kind of go, you know what? This is really disrupting my work. Can we talk later? And like, I mean, you know, great.
Yeah, great. We'll talk on the way home.
Yeah. But maybe you just have to be more vocal because sometimes...
How many of those does it take for somebody to get the message? I can't talk to you right now. I'm working. Okay, I'll talk to you on the way home. I'm not going home directly today. I'm going to see my very ill Aunt Maud.
Getting into confrontation here, and that's not always good. Sometimes we just need to ghost. Ghosting, I've spoken about ghosting before, is always good. Just kind of like, just slightly disappear instead of being confrontational.
I'm sitting right beside you. I can see you. You're not ghosting anybody.
Build a cardboard wall between your desk.
It's just turn around. All you have to do is turn around and go, listen, Johnny, whoever your name is, I've got a lot to do. Do you mind if I just get on with it? And just say, listen, I can't be dealing with the stories. There's nothing wrong with telling somebody that you want to work. You are actually at work. So that's what you're supposed to be doing.
I've a lot to be doing with the rest of my life. So shut up.
Exactly.
Amanda and Declan, thank you both very much for taking a break. Back in a sec.